We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Coast to Coast on the Her Hoop Stats Podcast Network. I'm Karina Mustafa alongside Calvin Wetzel. And on Monday night, the 2024 WNBA draft took place. We're going to get into all of that. We're going to break down a lot of the picks. We are also going to break down the fits from the orange carpet and then give you the upcoming important dates to know ahead of the upcoming WNBA season. Cal, you ready?
Yes, it's our first official full start to finish WNBA episode of the season. I'm so ready for it.
Right. I know. It feels like we've been covering college for like so long, and we started this pod talking WNBA, and now we're into a different WNBA season, which is kind of wild to think about. But yeah, I mean, the WNBA draft last night, I think it went pretty much as well as you could have expected it to, and we're going to get into a lot of these picks, but I'll let me pull up for our YouTube listeners, and this is just a shout out to YouTube to make sure you're subs. I'm going to pull up some graphics of the top picks. Let's start with the top three, and that was Caitlin Clark going to Indiana, Cam Brink to LA, and Camila Cardoso to the Chicago Sky. Now, Cal, obviously, Caitlin Clark, undisputed number one pick, has been projected, teased about every single thing possible without going into tampering. Just how excited are you to finally be able to officially talk about her fit with this Indiana Fever team and maybe specifically with Aaliyah Boston, last year's number one pick?
Yeah, I'm so excited. And you can tell she is too. All the interviews, she's saying, you know, "I can't wait to feed Aaliyah, give the ball to Aaliyah." You know, they're asking her, I think it was Andrea asked her, like, shooting, passing, all your skill set, what are you looking to use the most? She said right away, passing, because I have Aaliyah Boston, you know, and why wouldn't you pass the ball to Aaliyah Boston? So excited to see those two together. And this whole team, there's the pieces are starting to fall into place now with, you have Nelissa Smith, who the number two pick 2 years ago. They didn't quite do what the Aces did a few years ago with three straight number ones, but they got a number two, number one now, which is pretty close. And then obviously Kelsey Mitchell, some of these pieces around them, Erica Wheeler. This team could be pretty good. Grace Berger. They also are going to have some growing pains. And I think that six or seven through nine or 10 range in the WNBA is going to be a battle. It's gonna be an all-out war. Those teams are, there's not very much separation, and the Fever also might end up still taking another year to really get back into the playoff picture and where they need to go. I'm not sure, but either way, they're going to be entertaining whether it clicks right away or not. So I'm very excited to see how it plays out.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw them have a really good start to the season last year, and then things obviously kind of fell off in the latter half of the season. But now you bring in Caitlin Clark. They also drafted, I do want to mention, Celeste Taylor at the 15th pick, which I think is huge and just like so, so excited. We talked about the Ohio State press. We talked about what Celeste has brought, and now she was drafted by the Indiana Fever as well. Really excited to watch this team together. Yeah. And like you said, I think like, and it'll be interesting because the Indiana Fever have like 36 nationally televised games this year or something like that. So it'll be really funny if they end up not making the playoffs and then people are like, oh, but it's like, this is normal. Like, this is a normal thing that happens in basketball. Like, there's a reason why teams have the number one pick. It's because they were not good the year before. And so, like, it's going to take time for all these players to kind of build up and get more reps together. But I'm really excited. I'm really excited to see how Caitlin Clark's passing just improves even more, because Aaliyah Boston is, like, the best player she will have ever played with. And so I'm really excited to see that partnership grow, and pick and roll and entry passing and everything. Love it. All right, Leah's other two picks, Cameron Brink, Camille Cardoso. Now, we know a lot of mocks had Rekia Jackson going third. She ended up going fourth, so she ends up with the LA Sparks as well. We'll talk about her in a second. But what are your thoughts on Cam going number two and then Camille Cardoso being the player that this guy ended up drafting?
Yeah, I think Cam going number two was no surprise to most people. Great fit in LA, obviously a tantalizing prospect when you talk about what she can already do on the defensive end and what she's shown flashes of on the offensive end. I think the shot is going to come, and there's some other players in this draft we'll talk about in a little bit who I think the three-point shot will start to come. I said this on the show yesterday that I love looking back at players who are 27, 28, 29, who we think of as shooters, and looking back on their rookie year, their sophomore year. And the biggest example, that not sophomore, their second year. I'm still in college mode.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay.
the biggest example that I always think of is Benaija Laney. She was not a
That's
shooter.
A great
not even
one.
A little bit when she came into the league. And look at what she's doing now. And you could go down the list, but so I'm not worried about that from Cam Brink perspective. I think she's going to be a fantastic stretch four, and what she could do running the floor. And again, we've talked about the fouls. Not really worried about that either. You get an extra foul in the WNBA. That's when you're a rookie, you're going to foul people, because rookies, as always, get humbled on defense. Sometimes that's how it works. Yeah. When you're a rookie, you take a step up, and sometimes you get beaten. You got to foul them. That's not just going to be a Cam Brink thing. That's going to be an every rookie on this draft board that we talk about thing. But by the time she gets some experience, she's going to be fine. And then moving on to Camille Cardoso. This one, a month ago or so, probably would have surprised me. But we started to see some reports about this. I know Annie Kostbile put this out, and some other people started to shift their mocks a little bit as we led up to draft time. So to me, what the Sky are doing here, they really went all in saying, we want to solidify our front court of the future. We have our defense, we have our rebounding locked down, and we already have so many front court pieces signed through this year that can bring some of those things. When you talk about Izzy Harrison coming back from injury, obviously Elizabeth Williams, Bree Turner, who they acquired in that trade, and those three players are going to be great for players like Cardoso and then Angel Reese, who we'll get to in a little bit as well, to play under, learn from. And then when that new CBA most likely hits in a couple of years and you start to move on from some of these vet contracts, now you have two good bigs who are complement each other, I think, at the four and the five, who can both defend and rebound, and your front court is set. So if those both pan out, I think the Sky are in great shape. Rekia Jackson would have been a great pick as well, and we're about to talk about her, so that's nothing against her. But Cardoso, I think this guy really went all in on solidifying that sort of defensive rebounding and size in the front court.
Yeah, and it's a very interesting conversation to see what teams end up doing in terms of fit and talent and like who's available. And so let's move on to the next set of picks in the first round. like at number four, like we said, Rekia Jackson got selected by the LA Sparks. Then the Dallas Wings selected JC Sheldon at number five, and Canada's very own Aaliyah Edwards, number six, with the Washington Mystics. I am so, so excited about all this. I also have to show our YouTube viewers, I am repping Canada basketball. I'm repping Canadian hoops, and I'm very excited for that fit. I was texting with my manager at Canada Basketball, and he was asking me where I think Aaliyah is going to go, because we were live tweeting that night. We were getting ready to post content, post graphic. And I think I was telling him the biggest thing that I said was, I think Dallas is going to draft JC at five, because I would rather they go after a guard, because you already have a Kalani Brown. You already have a Tierra McCowan on that Wings roster. And, you know, the Wings, obviously, they lost Marina Mabry last season. She, who is now with the Chicago Sky as well. And so I think they were going to go after somebody who was in that guard position that could potentially, you know, learn behind Arike and kind of play with her. And so that's why that Aaliyah Edwards fit made more sense to me to the Mystics. And the Mystics, Elena Deladon is out, is not playing for the season. So now it's the year of Shakira Austin and Aaliyah Edwards. Thoughts, Cal?
Yeah, I love both of these fits. I think, like you said, Dallas has loaded up on front court talent, you know, through the last few years, through the draft, through free agency, through whatever. And now you bring in JC Sheldon, who can help your backcourt in so many different ways. The epitome of not one-dimensional. You can talk about her defense. You can talk about her playmaking on offense, her ability to find people. She brings so many different things to this backcourt. So I think that's going to be huge for them. And then Rekia Jackson, who we talked about a little bit, in, you know, in this group of three here, I think she has the highest ceiling of anyone on this list. And I probably would say that her ceiling is higher than Cardoso's as well. That doesn't mean necessarily that she is going to be better than Cardoso, but I think if everyone reaches their peak in this draft, which never happens, but Rekia Jackson's potential is dripping in terms of just what she can do at that size at the maybe three or four position. And she's going to get a lot of opportunity on the Sparks right away. The Sparks are a team where she's going to be counted on pretty heavily right away. She and Cameron Brink, I think there's not exactly a ton of star power after they lose NECA. Obviously, Jordan Canada went to the Dream. Plenty of usage open on that team. And then you look at Aaliyah Edwards. So cool to, like you said, see someone from Canada show off that shirt again. Yeah, I love it.
You can't even see the
going
flagger.
At six to the Mystics. Yes, yes. And so cool to see how hype, you know, Paige and AZ and everyone were for her as well. But I think that she's going to have a real opportunity to develop kind of next to Shakira Austin, like you said. And that's another one. I think they could fit great, you know, long-term for the Mystics 4 or 5 as well, fitting together in that front court. So I'm very interested to see how it all develops, but the biggest takeaway for me so far through these six, and really probably through the next three that we're about to get into as well, I was almost surprised by the lack of surprises. Usually there's that one pick where we're like, who saw that coming? Are you serious? We had her at 14th and she just went fourth or whatever. And
yeah,
it didn't really happen. Didn't really happen through the first at least 8, maybe 9, 10 picks. I don't know. So That was interesting. It sort of, the script writers got it right, it feels like.
Yeah, and that's a really good point that you bring up, because I saw a little bit of the discourse on Twitter about, you know, how many rookies end up making it in a spot on their teams. And I saw somebody say, I think it was Sabria, who was like, I think more players are going to stick this year because teams drafted really well based on what they needed. And so I think that's a very interesting point, and why I'm very curious to see what happens once we get to training camp to see who sticks around. But let's look at these 7 to 9 picks. We talked a little bit about Angel Reese at 7. As we know, the Sky and the Lynx had a trade the day before. I can't remember if it was the day of or the day before, but they swapped that number 7 and an 8 pick, which ended up meaning that Sky were going after Angel Reese. And like you said, like that front court with Camila Cardoso, I think is super exciting. Especially like when you look at the other teams in the leagues, like we mentioned the Dallas Wings in their front court. We know the Las Vegas Aces are good. Like the Liberty with Jonquel and like all these players, like as much as we've talked about the importance of guards in the WNBA, and we're going to get to that as well with some of these other teams. But I think having that strong front court is so essential to like being able to fit your team together like a puzzle, like we've talked about recently. But yeah, any other thoughts on Angel Reese or maybe the number 8 and 9 pick? Because you talked about maybe any surprises. I won't lie. We talked a little bit about Alyssa Pealey last week. I was a little surprised at number 8. I won't lie.
You know, I would have been more surprised with that, I think, if it wasn't Cheryl Reeve picking there. But I think Alyssa Pealey is a very Cheryl Reeve player when you talk about front court players who can do some different things in terms of passing and in terms of their offensive skills. And they're all very different players, but so it's not, I'm not making like a player comp here, but you can look at some of the other front court players that she's brought in throughout the years, and they're not really like the Tierra McCowans and Kalani Browns of the world. Obviously Sylvia Fowles was there forever, and that's a little bit different, but most of them are players who bring some type of guard-esque type of skills. Jess Shepherd, elite passer, obviously. Demiris Duntis, shoot the three. And so this was a little bit less surprising to me because I just, who was making that pick? I think Cheryl Reeve, she's the type of player who's going to love Alyssa Pealey. And then Angel Reese, like we talked about with the Chicago Sky, solidifying their front court. And Angel Reese is another one like Cameron Brink, who I think is going to develop that shot. You know, we saw that video the other day of her knocking down threes like it was nothing.
She's ambidextrous, lefty and righty. Yeah.
So she's going to be fine. And when you look at players, that's really cool, by the way. That's extremely helpful for a player to have. But
yeah,
when you look at players who knock down free throws and occasionally take threes, I think those are the players who become three-point shooters at some point in their career. And I think Angel Reese is going to do that at some point. So when you look at what the Sky have right now, they have so much in terms of, like we said, rebounding and defense. And Angel Reese's shooting is going to come. Her handle is much improved over her college career. So, you know, the Sky traded up one spot for this pick. You almost never in any sport see a team trade up one spot by giving up that much when it's not like the number one pick or the number two pick or whatever, from like 8th to 7th. And they gave up a good deal. The Lynx got quite a bit back to move down one spot. So that just tells you how confident the Chicago Sky are in Angel Reese and how much they really wanted her. And time will tell if they were right or not. But I think, you know, my gut reaction is that they were. My gut reaction is that it's going to work out for them. And we're going to look back and think that that was fine. Now, the one exception might be, depending on how that 2026 pick swap plays out, we don't know what the value of that is going to be. That was part of the trade. And if they end up having to drop a significant number of spots in the 2026 draft to compensate for that, then who knows? But I do think Angel Reese was a great pick for them there.
Yeah. And we'll talk a little bit about who else this guy added in the second round. But there are also a couple of international players that I do want to touch on. Carla Light, for the mispronunciation, for the Dallas Wings at number 9, as well as Layla Lacon for the Connecticut Sun at number 10, and Nardi Upoch, the Atlanta Dream at 12. The interesting thing about these players is that they're actually not going to come over until the 2025 season. And so a couple of teams' rosters, like especially the New York Liberty too, who also drafted Markeisha Davis, their rosters are pretty full. If you look at by the time they get to training camp, like they would be fighting for a lot of spots. So I think being able to draft these players that you have a lot of belief in is really good for that 2025 season once they're able to actually come over and they have another year of overseas basketball under their belt. So I did want to mention them, but Let's go to some honorable mentions from the second round. And like I said, the Chicago Sky, they drafted friend of the pod. Friend of the pod. I can finally say that. That's so cool. Brandon Maxwell from Gonzaga. So they drafted originally Camila Cardoso, Angel Reese. We talked about that front court. But now, to complement that, they bring in an excellent three-point shooter. And of course, we have very nice things to say about her, Cal. But thoughts on Brenna being drafted by this guy at 13?
So many nice things to say about her, just as a person, too. We had a great time on that pod. If anyone missed it, go back and listen to that one, and then come back and finish this one. But Brenna, like you said, elite three-point shooter, and she gets her shots off in so many different ways. That's the key when you're transitioning from college to the pro. Not just a spot up, the way that she can shoot off the dribble, off movement, off all sorts of different actions, I think is going to be big in terms of that translating to the next level right away. And she's going to get to play behind someone who can do a lot of that too, in Marina Mabry, I think, right away. So this is another opportunity for the Sky to have some players who really can learn from some people who do some similar things and who have been there before, you know, on their roster, and then sort of transition into maybe taking over. We'll see how that plays out with Brenna, obviously being a second round pick. If she sticks for however many years, I hope so emotionally, because again, friend of the pod, we're all rooting for her. But I was very excited when I saw this pick. This was the first one that I was like really, really surprised by. Like I would not have guessed it at all, and pleasantly surprised, because I was so pumped when I saw Brenna go only one spot outside of the first round. That's huge. So shout out Brenna, and excited to see how that works out.
That's very correct and so true. And the Chicago Sky team is going to be young. They're officially in the rebuilding era with Dana Evans kind of at the helm of it this year, hopefully. So very exciting team to watch. We'll see what happens around training camp and all that. Some of these other players, Nika Mule, drafted 14th by the Seattle Storm. All the UConn number 10 comparisons to Sue Bird were floating around the internet. Here's a team that we should talk about, and that's the Las Vegas Aces. Because how are you going to be the back-to-back champions and come in and have one of the top drafts, I would say, out of all the teams that went on Monday night? Because let's look at who they drafted. They draft De'Asia Fair, the third top scoring player in Division I history. They also drafted Kate Martin from Iowa and Liz Kitley, who will not be able to play this year, but she gets to learn behind Candace Parker. She gets to learn behind Asia Wilson. She gets to learn behind this really, really deep and experienced Aces squad, rehab, and come back even stronger next season. And I think this was a fantastic draft by the Las Vegas Aces, because they're going to be looking to add really high value to their bench. And I think drafting pieces like this is a great way to do that.
I agree. And I had to laugh when I was watching the Aces second round draft, and, you know, there's however many people were invited in person, and there weren't that many people left in terms of WNBA draft picks. It's still in the room in the second round. And the Aces felt like they were looking around the room and were like, all right, who's still here? We'll take you. We'll take you. Because there was only, I think, like four second rounders in attendance, and the Aces took three of those. And Kate Martin wasn't even there because she was invited. She was there to support Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
I don't know if anyone told the Aces they could take people that weren't there as well. But maybe they just wanted Kathy to officially read all their picks. But I thought it was a great draft for them as well. And when you look at their roster, I mean, I think they have nine what I would consider locks. And then you have Kirsten Bell, who feels like she's become part of the team and probably should make it. And then you have a bunch of players really competing for a spot. You have Bria Hartley, Bria Beal, some other training camp contracts. And you have these three draftees. Obviously, Elizabeth Kitley's not playing, but you have Kate Martin, you have De'Asia Fair. And they can't all make it, but at least one, possibly two of them can. So that's going to be a really exciting training camp battle, I think. That I'm going to be following pretty closely to see who, if anyone, kind of comes out and gets that last spot or two on the Aces roster. And in terms of the two rookies that we, out of the three that we just talked about, who are going to be competing for it, like Kate Martin and De'Asia Fair could not be more different players. So it's going to be very interesting to see like the Aces. To me, it seems like Kate Martin might fit more what they need because they have a lot of scoring already, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's hard to argue with what De'Asia Fair can do and what she can bring. And I loved her fit, by the way. I'm just going to tease her next segment real quick because I thought De'Asia Fair was looking clean. But Aces, great draft for what you had. Obviously, not having any picks in the first round. I don't know if you could have done better than this.
Yeah, just a fantastic draft. But all right, from any of these players left in the second and third round, do you have any that you want to touch on before we move on real quick?
Yeah, I mean, it was cool to see a lot of these players obviously get their opportunity. And for third rounders, a lot of players, it's cool to see the moment. I think it was Mackenzie Forbes who had that tweet about how emotional that was for her. And Mackenzie Holmes, another Mackenzie's going almost back to back. She's another one that's something that like only we appreciate on this pod. I feel like the weird name play. Mackenzie Holmes, another one who's sitting out, having surgery, and is going to try to come back in 2025. So I think that's a great pick for the Storm. I love the draft and stash route that some teams take when they have rosters that they feel like are probably pretty set and they don't really feel like they're going to have a lot of competition for any other spots in training camp. Take someone who maybe can come in and compete in your training camp in 25 or 26. And you talked about some of the international players, but Kenzie Holmes is going to be someone who can do that too. So I think great pick for the Storm there.
Absolutely. And some more picks. Helena Puyeo to the Connecticut Sun out of Arizona. Then we also have Charisma Osborne being selected to the Phoenix Mercury at 25th in the third round. Jazz Shelley from Nebraska also gets drafted to the Phoenix Mercury. Phoenix is going to be so fun this year. I cannot remember the last time I was excited to watch Phoenix, but I am this year. I mean, obviously we've talked about their free agent additions in the offseason and this draft too. I think they drafted some rookies that I think could potentially make the roster and really benefit with their presence. And so I don't know, Cal, you have any thoughts on Phoenix for this upcoming season?
Yeah, well, we're talking about teams who maybe have training camp battles or teams whose roster is pretty set and they might be looking towards 2025 with their drafted stashes. Phoenix is in the former camp. They are very much wide open on the end of that roster. And so players like Jazz Shelley, you don't see third rounders make the roster very often, but Jazz has a real shot because when you look up and down Phoenix's roster here, they got six players who are entrenched or making a lot of money, who are protected as they should be, and that's Kalia Copper, Diana Taurasi, Natasha Cloud, Becca Allen, Sophie Cunningham, and Brittany Griner. After that, wide open. You talk about some of the teams who are wide open for the 10th or 11th spot. They're wide open for like the 7th spot. It's nothing but training camp contracts when you look at 7 on down. So there are going to be a lot of training camp contracts that make this roster. And when you read some of these names, they're all players who were later in the draft in recent drafts. Maya Hollingshead, Amy Atwell was a third round pick. Natasha Mack, Kristen Williams. These are the type of players who it's going to be an all out war in training camp to make the end of the roster. But they have enough spots that several of these players can make the cut. So very excited for this training camp battle as well.
For sure. And then last shout out before we go do our fit check, Ashley Owusu got drafted by the Dallas Wings, and Jalen Sherrod didn't get drafted, but she did sign a training camp contract with the New York Liberty. I know a lot of people were kind of wondering, oh my God, what is going to happen? But the New York picked her up for that training camp contract. So we'll see what happens once April 28 rolls around. And we'll get to that at the end as well, too, in terms of important dates to keep in your calendar coming up. But it's time for Fit Check.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, so this is what I've done. I've organized the upcoming pictures based on the tier that I think they should be in. Cal, feel totally free to disagree with my picks because that's what we're here for. But I think first and foremost, and I think you echo this too, everyone looked phenomenal on the orange carpet at the WNBA draft. The stylists, the makeup artists, everybody held it down, did what they were supposed to do. I think like the draft like fits just get better year after year. I mean, you're looking at like, I think it was Sydney Colson that like tweeted something about like feeling emotional or sad that like players are not wearing business casual at the WNBA draft anymore. Cause like you look at those pictures from like a decade ago or like even like not even a decade ago. And you're like, wow, like the difference is actually like really stark. But I really love these fits. So let's get into it because there were 15 draftees that were invited. And I think number two pick in the WNBA draft stole the show, and that's Cameron Brink. I just love, and this, if you're not listening on YouTube, I suggest you get over to YouTube so that you can see these fits, or you can pull them up on social media. But Cameron Brink is super tall. We know this. And so I think when you're looking for an outfit, you have to do something that complements that height. And this slit, this one leg slit with that skirt and the top, the black and the white, it looks so classy. Her hair is like down, but it's back. Her makeup was a sleigh. Her shoes is all like pointing down, which I think just elevates the whole look. And to me, when I saw her, I was like, this is the one. Like, this is the look for me. I just love it.
I just want to say that the way that like Drea and Shanae analyze basketball is like how you are analyzing this fit right now. I feel like just the amount of like the attention to detail and just like the level of analysis that you're bringing is as good as the fit. So you got me so excited for your analysis of like the next 10 fits or however many you have. I don't have lots of detailed analysis about all of these fits, but I do love them. Like you said, I love seeing players' kind of personalities shine through their fashion. I'm like a fake wannabe fashion person. I'm not like actually good at it, but I wish I was. Yeah. And I love kind of seeing other people who are good at it let their talents for it shine. So that's all I got. But
listen,
I love this segment.
I love to watch award shows, and my favorite part is always the red carpet. So like me and my sister will sit and we will critique the outfits every single award show. So I'm not new to this, but I just like, especially like I'm tall as well. I'm not as tall as Cameron Brink because nobody's as tall as Cameron Brink. I'm like 5'8". So I'm like considered tall for a regular person.
I got you. We've never met in person. Isn't that crazy? I had no idea how tall you were.
That is crazy.
One of these days.
So like I always appreciate, you know, like clothing that is like complimentary to like your height because it's really hard to come across. All my tall girlies know. But let's move on to the next one because also when I saw her, I was like, she crushed this. And that is Angel Reese. In case you missed this look, she has this like hooded, very sparkly backless. I love me a backless dress. I thought she looked so elegant. This fit her so well. It was giving like Princess Jasmine almost. And there's a couple of other players that I would compare to a princess as well, as we kind of get later on in the fit checks. But she just looks so beautiful. And like one of the things that I really loved too was her makeup was so well done. I need these makeup artists to just like give me tips, because my makeup is never ever going to look as seamless as Angel's. But no, she really crushed this look. I think for me, this was an easy number two behind Cam. This is just like, to me, like right now, Cam and Angel like is in the top tier. And there's one other person that I would place in that top tier with them. So it's not even a 1-2. It's like a 1A, 1B type of thing.
Well,
and that
before
is
you get to whoever that is,
yeah,
I just want to say that if you listen to Angel doing the interviews about this fit, which is another part I love. I know I love when people ask them about their fit so they can talk about like how it all came together. She had a different fit lined up. And apparently the fit did not fit. So she had the last minute, I think she said 2 days before, scramble and find something else. A plus work to
have
to
this
last
as a
minute
backup
find
fit?
Something and then still hit it out of the park like this.
For real. For real. Like that is a backup fit. I'm like, are you crazy? Anyway, she slayed that. I loved it. Thanks for mentioning that, because I did forget about that. But the last person in my top tier for the fit check is Rekia Jackson, and specifically the outfit change into the second one, as you see here. I'll pull up the original tweet that has, so she wore the red pantsuit on the orange carpet, and then for the draft, she did an outfit change, which is iconic in and of itself. And this change that she did was a sparkly suit, silver suit, with a silver bralette underneath. And that to me is such an underrated look in fashion. I think like another player that really pulls this off well is Kalia Copper. She does this fit a lot, and I think it looks so good. It's like perfect for formal events like this, but you're also comfortable, which is such an underrated thing to have when you're dressing up for an event. I thought like her hair too. I mean, there are so many, like Rekia just looked beautiful last night. Her hair looked amazing. The glasses, the accessories too, that's another thing that's really underrated about putting a fit together. You can put the dress on, the clothes on, whatever it is, but the accessories somehow sometimes make the outfit even better. And so the jewelry, the glasses, I think all fit really well. And so Cam, Angel, and Rekia are in my top tier of fit check.
What makes this one even better to me is the setting, the framing of this picture specifically. Shout out to whoever set that up, because like the couch and the little plants in the background, I think it just all goes together perfectly. This is like, I don't even know whose fit was best, but this is the best picture of a fit out of those three to me.
And shout out to the WNBA for posting this picture. Absolutely incredible. I'm so ready to see like more pictures, because I know there's going to be more pictures coming out in the next few days. Like, you know, you go to an event, you take pictures, and then the next day you're like texting the person who is the photographer or whatever. You're like, do you have those pictures of me? So I expect that to be happening over the next couple of days. But let's move on to the next tier. This was like the top tier. So everybody else that follows is kind of in the same tier, I would say. They all looked really good in their own right. But to me, it was like Cam, Angel, and Rekia stood out against the rest. And of course, I'm biased. My next person is Aaliyah Edwards. When you search up that basketball purse that she's holding, that purse, that tiny little basketball purse, is like over $1,000. So she's already like extremely big time. But I thought this look was super cool. I like that a lot of the players were wearing white. Like I'm normally like not brave enough to wear white ever, so I think like it's a really good look. Her hair just kind of being back a little bit like that than what it normally is looked really nice too. And again, like you talk about the accessories, the basketball purse, the necklace, the earrings, the bracelets, like the nails, like it all fits in together really well, and I thought she looked great. Let's keep moving through these. This one was a bit of a controversial one, and that's Caitlin Clark's outfit. And I just want to say, I don't understand why it was so controversial. I liked this outfit quite a bit. People were saying that her jacket was a bit boxy, but I thought it worked. And this was a Prada outfit. I thought the colors really complimented her. The little sparkly, like, like top that she had underneath too, the little purse, the heels that she has as well, as although you can't see it in the picture, the glasses, everything. I don't know, Cal. Do you have any controversial thoughts about this one? Because I thought she looked great.
Don't have any controversial thoughts about any fits, but I do think she looked great. I saw that she changed out of the heels at some point in Africa, put on some
smart
whatever it was, because which I would too. I don't know how you all women wear
it's
heels
painful.
All the time.
It's painful.
Shout out to women for dealing with stuff that men never have to deal with just in general life. But I thought that this fit was great. Again, I don't know what I'm talking about. So I trust you though, Karina. So if you like this fit,
I would wear this. I would wear this. Like, I legitimately would wear this. So maybe that's why I liked it. But anyway, moving on. Nika. Okay. There were a couple of comments on this that, like, maybe the skirt would have been better with, like, pants. But I think what really got me about Nika's look is the way that she was posing for the pictures. Because you also have to be, we talked about accessories, we talked about makeup, we talked about hair. But your energy and your confidence can make a fit 10 times more cool. And the way that she was posing, I wish I had a video instead of the photo. You can kind of tell in the photo the way that she's posing. Like, she knows. She knows she's that girl. And that's exactly what was happening last night. I was also blown away by Nika's fit. I thought the black suits her really well as well, too. I kind of like the skirt look at the bottom there. I don't really mind it, but I know there were a couple comments about that. But yeah, I don't know. She just exuded confidence, and to me, I really loved that.
That's how she plays too. Exactly how she plays.
Exactly. I'm so excited to see if she sticks in Seattle this year. That's going to be really cool. All right, moving on. We have kind of the next couple are all pantsuits. So I've kind of categorized them as that. Camila Cardoso wearing the red. She changed back to her black hair. She was previously had her red hair. I like this look a lot. I think it's simple yet like really like powerful at the same time. Like a red pantsuit. Like I said, you look good and you're comfortable. And what more can you ask for? Her necklace is really nice too. I think it pairs really well. And so like, and I'm gonna teach you another thing, Cal. So she has like her black yes. hair and the black heels and like the red in the middle. And like they call that the sandwich method in fashion. So you basically wear like the same color on the top and the bottom, but you wear a different color in the middle. And so it's kind of looks like a sandwich. And it's a way to like bring colors together. And like that to me is like what I think about when I see her. I know we're really getting into the weeds of it now with the fashion.
Oh, let's go. Fashion lessons. I like that. I'm going to have to wear a sandwich next time I go out somewhere cool. I'm gonna have a hat and a shoes or whatever. I'll figure it out.
Exactly. Here are some other pantsuits. I'm gonna start to go through them a little bit quicker. Celeste Taylor also wearing white, and Charisma Osborne also had the white. I definitely prefer Celeste's here. I think she just looked really classy. I think my favorite thing about the look was actually her earrings. I really like how like long they are, and I think it really fits with the type of pantsuit that she was wearing. But I promised you guys that there was another player that I thought looked like a princess, and that's Nards. That's Nardu Pouch. This dress just looks beautiful. Like, it looks, it's kind of a shame she didn't get drafted by the Liberty, because this is low-key Liberty colors, like with the seafoam a little bit. But she honestly just looks like a mermaid wearing this dress, and that's immediately like what I thought of. It's giving the Little Mermaid, it's giving Ariel, and I love it. She was just missing the red hair, that's all. All right, let's get through some of these other ones. Alyssa Peely, I really like this look because she really allowed her tattoos to be on display, and I think that added to the whole look. There's like another angle too, I didn't really get it, but you can see the ones that are on her collarbone as well on the other side. And so I really like this look. It's a great way to kind of tie in her heritage as well, and I just really liked it overall. I think like the tattoos are literally an accessory to the whole look, which is a common theme today. Excuse the screenshot. I literally was looking for a picture of Liz Kitley and I could not find one. But if you want to talk about accessories, she is accessorizing the hell out of those crutches and the leg, dude. I think going with the all black was a really, really good decision. She looked great. Speedy recovery, of course. But some of these other looks, JC Sheldon, she kind of went with this like prom dress style look. The sleek, basic black. She looked really great. Like, I love seeing her hair down as well, too. Yeah, it was a really good look. It was like chic. It felt chic. And then Markeisha Davis also went with a black dress, but more sparkly. I love that a lot of players decided to go the sparkly route. I just think that looks so good. And if you're going to be at a formal event, an awards show, I think that's the time to bust out the sequins. And then the last one, Cal, which I know you liked.
But not least,
that you kind of teased. De'Asia Fair's look. What did you like?
Yeah, look at that. Look at De'Asia Fair. Looking clean. I love that look.
Yeah, she was the only one that wore a tux. So maybe, I guess, like, I don't know. Would you classify a pantsuit as a tux? Maybe, like, it's just not the same.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Yeah, okay. That's right. I guess that's a debate. So maybe if you were in the comments, tell us whether
you would
classify that as the same. But those are all the fits. Thanks for sticking around if you heard all of my thoughts on that. But really, really shout out to the stylists of the players. And they all looked really great. And that's like low-key, like, the draft is fun. But like, I just as much look forward to the orange carpet and kind of the fits. And I love the concept of the orange carpet with it being the WNBA. But yeah, do you have any like lasting thoughts on those fits?
Yeah, just, I mean, that's one of the things I look forward to, like, for social media content when it comes to games and things like that, is like the entrance walks or whatever you call it, when they show up to the game with their fit and everyone's trying to, again, display their personality and things like that. And so the draft was all about that. And it's just like a bunch of that all woven together in one event. And that's really cool for me. Even though I don't know anything of what I'm talking about with fashion.
That's okay. No, I think like what you said about like them expressing themselves, I think that's like so true, because it all ties into everything when it comes to like the storytelling of athletes in the league. And stuff like this is really important to themselves and their identities as well, because like, it's more than basketball. It's basketball and all of these other things that kind of make you who you are. So yeah, fit check may seem silly, but I don't know. I think it's pretty cool. And I really loved watching all the fits last night. And that was the WNBA draft. And now we move towards the WNBA season. Let's take a look at these upcoming important dates. April 28th is when training camp starts. And the last cutoff date for final rosters, I believe, is May 13, if I remember correctly. So there's a little bit of, there's a lot of time there in between. Kind of up till the last minute almost, but May 3rd preseason games begin. May 5th is the WNBA Canada game, where I will be boots on the ground in Edmonton. So make sure to tell me if you're going to be going out to the WNBA Canada game. I would love to see you. Love to see all the content. I'm really excited for that. The Sparks will be facing the Storm. And now that we know who both of those teams have drafted, I'm extra excited to see Cameron Brink and Rekia Jackson play for the Sparks as well. And Nika Mule with the Seattle Storm, of course, as we talked about. And then May 14, that's when everything starts. The regular season begins. I'm so excited for this upcoming season. Cal, I can't wait to start our fantasy league again and everything. We got to get on that. But what are you most excited about?
Fantasy is definitely something I am excited about, but I'm most excited just to see how the momentum of women's basketball carries over. And I think so far it feels like it did carry over into the draft. I feel like, and I think I saw you tweet about this too, there was more hype and social media happenings and texts and things like that about this draft than any of the drafts that I remember since I've been following, which is the same thing that we could have said about the Final Four and the national championship. And so I hope that that's the case for the whole WNBA season and not just for Caitlin Clark and the Fever. I hope that I have friends who haven't tuned in before to who start tuning in to all sorts of different games and developing their favorite players and storylines. And I'm just the most excited for that.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, yeah, like you said, like I tweeted yesterday, a lot of people who I know personally in my life who like don't typically follow the W or don't follow basketball, like they were all tuned into the draft because they watched March Madness and they have been getting into it. And so I'm so excited to see. What I'm excited to see is how all these teams actually shake out. Like we talked about Vegas, we talked about Phoenix, we talked about like the Liberty, like all these different teams who, especially the ones who have had the most movement. I'm very, very interested to see how the standings shake out, who kind of comes out in that first week of games, because we always know they always come out with a punch. And so I'm really, really interested to see which teams are going to be the elite, which teams are going to have a chance against the Las Vegas Aces and all of that fun stuff. But yeah, that's Coast to Coast for today. We're going to be coming at you with season previews over the next couple of weeks. We're going to keep you updated on all the training camp dramatics and all that. Make sure you follow Her Hoop Stats on social media at Her Hoop Stats, myself at Karina MM, Calvin at CWessel31. Make sure you're subbed to the Her Hoop Stats podcast network wherever you listen to podcasts, and make sure you're subscribed on YouTube for fun segments such as Fit Check. And we will see you next Tuesday.